All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking our sponsors. Thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar. Stephen Tarizin for dedicating all the Shulman Joshua's this month in honor of their newest grandson, Matan Shmuel Aaron. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, this young man will grow to be an incredible and successful Ben Torah. May I have asked Mishanim Tovos. Mostly with that, today's daf is Mem Beis 42, and an incredible daf it is. We are picking up on Mem Aleph Mem Beis 41b, and we are picking up 10 lines up from the bottom. So if you remember again, at the end of yesterday's daf, we got into the sugya of Chanufa, flattery, and the Gemara talking about the deleterious effects of Chanufa, and how again Chanufa ultimately again condemns an individual to all types of punishments, which we'll get into in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Fals Am Rebbe Lazar, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Chanufa, Mevi Af Li Olam." Any person who goes ahead and brings and literally has flattery in him is also by the way an interesting lashon of Sheish Bo Chanufa, has flattery in him. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Mevi Af Li Olam brings anger to the world, which Rebbe Lazar means invites the Midas Hadin, the divine attribute of justice, into the world. Shneimar v'chanfi levi asimu af v'lo od elashin tiras nishmas. Any person who has chanufa, has flattery in him, his tefilos are not heard. They're not listened to. Shneimar lo yishal v'ki asiram. Let's say just a little bit of background to this. What is it that's so bad about chanufa? In other words, I understand flattery is not good. I certainly understand that. But Lamaisa, why the intensity, right? Why the intensity, ultimately, again, from Chazal about this? Because remember, again, what does Chanufa represent? Chanufa represents the height of personalistic insincerity, right? When a person has the need of Chanufa, when a person is just a flatterer, so what ends up happening? They're not sincere. They're not genuine. They're not truthful. And suddenly what comes out is anything they say is always subject to what? Is always subject to like, all right, really? Like, do you mean it? Do you not mean it? Is it just in order to get something? So I would say that's the problem with Chanufa, a total insincerity, a total sense of lack of genuinity. I know it's not a word, but I like it, right? Genuinity. I would say, so what's the problem? What's the most important midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs from us in this world? The most important midah is honesty and sincerity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask me to be perfect. He doesn't even ask me to be great. What he just asks of me is to be honest. Because if I'm an honest and sincere person, then when I mess up, which I do multiple times every hour, right? Then ultimately, again, at least I have the chance, I have the ability to go ahead and fix it. But if a person lacks sincerity, person lacks genuinity, then at the end of the day, there's absolutely no hope for such an individual. That's why you see the strong response to Chanufa. If you possess Chanufa, your tefillos are not heard. You possess Chanufa, ultimately, again, you're bringing anger to the world because it's the antithesis. It's the antithesis of the honesty, the sincerity, the genuinity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs from us in order to be successful people in this world. Incredible. Gemara goes right there. From Elazar. Call them sheish b'chanufa. Any person who possesses chanufa, afilu ubrim shememei imam ekalanoso. This is pretty wild. Even fetuses, right? Even fetuses in their mother's womb curse such an individual. Shneimar omer l'rasha tzadikata yikavu amem yizamu l'umim vein kov ala kala shneimar v'lo kavo el vein la'om ala ubrim shneimar ula'om mil'om yematz. Okay, so that's the whole drasha on the psukim. What's the pshat? That even fetuses curse such an individual. I will say, when a person has the need of chanufa, this is actually, and we know this from the world, a person has the need of chanufa, so what happens? Everyone could sense it. Right? I will say, have you ever been around insincere, disingenuous, flattering type of people? Right? What's your feeling as soon as they open their mouth? What's your feeling? It's a lot. Come on. It's so clear. So I'll say, the whole chap is, when a person possesses the need of chanufa, everyone could sense it. That's the thing about me when it says, I feel the ubrim shemeh, even the fetuses. Okay, it's not literal, right? But even the fetuses. In other words, that lack of sincerity is palpable. And lack of sincerity is perceived and picked up and understood by everyone around you. Remember, Lazar, chanufa, nofel b'gehenem. Any person who has chanufa ultimately again falls into Gehenna, goes to Gehenna. Again, I both say, it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. What is it? What is it? It's a consequence. It's a consequence. You possess chanufa, you're not sincere, you're not honest, you're not genuine. Okay, so that means you're not going to fix your mistakes. You don't fix your mistakes in life. Oh, there's only one destination for such a person like that. Anyone who flatters his friend, sof nofel biyado. Interesting what I say. See, generally, the reason you flatter someone is why? You want to manipulate the individual. You try to manipulate someone, what generally ends up happening? Generally ends up happening is you fall into the hands of that individual who you tried to manipulate. A reversal. And if you don't fall into that person's hands, you'll fall into the hands of his children. If you don't fall into the hands of his children, you'll fall into the hands of his grandchildren. The idea is when you try to manipulate someone through flattery, at the end of the day, it won't work. And not only will it not work, but there'll be a reversal. Ultimately, again, you'll fall to that individual. If not him, his son. If not his son, his grandson. Shneimar. Rabbi said the source for this is actually quite interesting. So I will say this without getting into the entirety of this story. Ultimately, I go actually take a look at Rashi. So there was this guy Hananya, and Hananya was a false prophet. And one of the false prophecies that Hananya espoused is that Yechonya, who was the king of Yehuda, was already exiled, and Hananya prophesied that Yechonya is going to be returned to Yerushalayim very soon, along with some of the utensils of Beis Hamikdash. Yirmiyahu heard this. Yirmiyahu knew it was false. How did Yirmiyahu know it was false? Because he was a Navi, and he did prophesize about destruction. But yet when Hananya said this, what did he say? He said, Amen, Kein Ya'aseh Hashem. So Yirmiyahu said, Amen. I will say, now the Gemara understands that that was a form of Chanufa. Right? Yirmiyahu was flattering Hananya. So because Yirmiyahu disengaged in the behavior of Chanufa, so what happened? Uksiv, top of Membeis, top 542a, first line, Vahiyu Bishar Binyamin, Bisham Baal Pekidos, Ushmo, Yiriyah ben Shamya, ben Chananya, Vayitpos es Yirmiyahu Hanavi Leymar, Elakastim Ata Nofel. So Rabbi will say, so fast forward a little bit. So again, Yirmiyahu later on is arrested by a guy by the name of Yiriyah ben Shamya ben Chananya. The grandson of this guy Chananya goes ahead and arrests Yirmiyahu Hanavi. And he makes a claim that Yirmiyahu was a traitor trying to aid the Kasdim. So Vayomer lo Yirmiyahu sheker and no fell al Kasdim. Yirmiyahu says no. We'll say what's the point of here? Ksiv vayith post Yirmiyahu vayivi eyo al asarim. He's arrested. Yirmiyahu's arrested. Who is he arrested by? By the grandson of the guy who he flattered. This is just the raya that when you employ flattery as an attempt to go ahead and manipulate someone, it backfires. It backfires. You're trying to get that person to do what you want. Meanwhile, ultimately, somewhere down the road, either now or in two generations from now, you will fall into the hands of this individual. Again, I will say, it's all the same motif that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants us to be sincere, honest, and genuine people. And the midah of chanufa, or chanifa, flattery, is the antithesis of that. So when you go ahead and you act with a midah that is the antithesis of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, nothing works out. Nothing works out. Incredible. So I'll say this is actually incredible, Gemara. Any Eidah. And I will say, so now what we're doing is we're switching from the individual to the collective. Anytime an Eidah, a congregation, right? So I'll say a congregation could mean Klal Yisrael, or it could mean any group of people possess this terrible midah of Chanufa. Mu'usa k'nida. I will say now, mu'usa literally means disgusting, like a nida. It doesn't mean disgusting. needed is not discussed in Chas Hashalom. Right? So again, so Mu'us, we're going to see the definition in just a moment. Shneimar, ki adas chanaf galmud, shekim bikrachei ayam korin lenida galmuda. In, right? So we'll say often, in faro lands, they call the nida a galmuda. My galmuda, gimula mibayla. Someone who is removed from her husband. So also what it means is like this. In the same way that the nida is removed from her husband, an Eda, a congregation that possess, or a group that possesses the nida of Chanufa, is removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I will say, what's the enormity of that statement? See, normally, we make a distinction between the individual and the collective. And sometimes the individual could do things which remove its bond, which removes his bond, or which fractures the bond between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We always operate under the assumption that there is a general divine providence, siyata d'shmaya, that devolves upon the collective, tzibor, right? That's why tefillah b'tzibor, right? Davening with a minyan is so powerful because my prayers have greater impact when they're part of a collective than when they're just done individually. What the Gemara is highlighting over here is that the midah of Chanufa is so corrosive and so destructive that it even damages the relationship of the collective to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only does it damage the relationship of the individual, but it damages the relationships of the collective to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will say, it makes sense. Because if Chanufa represents, again, a lack of sincerity, a lack of honesty, a lack of genuinity, which is the core midah, or midos, that allow us to forge a relationship with Hashem, if Chas V'Shalom, the Tzibor has this, it even fractures their relationship. Incredible. Rabbi Lozer says, "Kol eidah sheish bo chanufa l'sof kola." Any congregation or any group within Klal Yisrael that has chanufa, at the end of the day, will be exiled. Will be exiled. K'siv hacha ki adas chanav galmud k'siv hasam ve'amarta bilvavecha miyalad li es eila v'ani shekula v'galmuda gola v'sura. Incredible. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba. What's another interesting Gemara? Arba kitos in mekablim pnei shechina. But it is a profound statement. There are four groups of people, who literally translated, do not receive the face, or do not receive the countenance of the shechina. And Rabbi said, this can mean one of two things. This can mean, what does it mean? They don't receive the pnei shechina. It could either be a reference to olam haba, right, world to come, that there are four groups of people, ultimately, again, that really don't have a portion in the world to come. Or again, it could kind of reference back to what we were just saying before, four groups of people who engage in four different types of behavior, who ultimately fracture their relationship with Hashem, even in Olam Hazeh, even in this world. But the idea is, Pnei Hashchina is a relationship statement, right? It's not, in other words, it's not a punishment, it is a punishment, but it's more a consequence. They don't have a relationship with Hashem. Be a reference either again in the world to come or here. Who are these individuals? Kat Leitzim. The Rebbe say this is incredible. A group of Leitzim. The Rebbe say, what's Kat Leitzim? So we saw this in Silas Yisharim, right? This idea of Leitzonos, right? What's a Letz? Someone who just doesn't take anything seriously, right? Everything is mocked. Everything is a joke. Everything is cynical, sarcastic. There's always something to say about everything. So that's a Letz. So I will say, if nothing is treated seriously, you accomplish nothing in life. So kat leitzim. Next, kat chanifim. Here's the connection, right? A group of flatterers, right? Flattery. Kat shkarim, liars. And kat misapri lashon hara, those who speak lashon hara. So I will say, these four groups are not mekabel pnei hashchina. I will say, if you think about it, each of these things by themselves really represents, so I will say, right, the Letz, he takes nothing seriously. Well, if you take nothing seriously, you're not going to grow in life. You're not going to grow in life. You're not a growth-oriented person. Well, you don't have a relationship with Hashem. Right? Chanifim, chanufu, we just spoke about before, lack sincerity, honesty, genuinity, then there's no hope for personalistic development. Shkarim, sheker, once again, I will say, so far the common denominator between these first three is honesty. Honesty and integrity. If you're not an honest person, you're not going to own your mistakes. At the end of the day, again, no hope for growth. And kat misapri lashon hara. So I both say, This one, it kind of stands alone on its own. What's the whole chap of Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara erodes the interpersonal fabric of society. If you're not a person who is careful with his bin Adam Lechavero, you're not a person ultimately, again, who is careful with his interpersonal relationships, you have nothing. You have nothing to build on. So I'll say, so again, where do we see this? The Gemara goes through this. Kat leitzim d'chsev mashach yado es lotitzim kat. I'm sorry, kat chanifim d'chsev kilo lefon of chanof yavo. Kat shkarim d'chsev dover shkarim lo yikol neneged einai. Kat mesarber lashnara d'chsev kilo kel chafes rasha ato lo yegur chara. Tzadik ato Hashem lo yegur mugur chara. So I'll say these are the four psukim that ultimately highlight this idea that these four groups are not mekabel pnei Hashem. And I both say, I was thinking about it when I was looking at this Gemara last night. It's interesting. If you were writing this Gemara, how would you write it? Why does it have to say kat groups? Right? Why doesn't it just say, I don't remember Arba. Arba anoshim. Right? Arba bnei Adam. Einon mekablin pnei Hashem. Right? What, right? Four people who engage in these four behaviors, or arba midos shebnei Adam. Why kat? Why groups? So I will say, maybe the pshat is like this. See, sometimes when a person commits an avera, so I will say, the greatest possibility to enable their tshuva is surrounding myself with good people. Right, tov letzadik, tov l'shchino. And this is such an important episode in life. Why it's always good to have friends who are on a higher level than you. Right, always good. Surround yourself with people who are really good influences. Because this way, even when I mess up, which I will, when I know that I have a good friend support group around me, positive guys, good people, good influences, growth-oriented individuals, see, even when I'm low, Emir Hashem, they will lift me up. They will lift me up. And I will say, on the other hand, that's the hope of tshuva. On the other hand, if I go ahead and I surround myself with negative people, or I surround myself with people who are not the right kind of influence, so what ends up happening? When I'm down, I just sink lower because I have no peer group to lift me up. So perhaps what the Gemara is talking about over here is, who are the people, or what's the situations we're not mekabel pnei shechina? It's not just the person who speaks Lashon Hara, or a person who's a letz, or a person who's a liar, or a person who's a flatterer. Rather, what is it? It's kat. Let's say a group. See, the danger is not just when I'm a letz, but what? I'm part of kat leitzim. Not just when I go ahead and I have chanufa, I'm part of kat chanifim. Because now suddenly, not only do I go ahead and possess this negative midah, but what? I'm surrounding myself with people who behave in the same way. Well, if I'm surrounding myself with people who behave in the same way, I will say, then it's really a problem. Now I'm never going to get out. That's why he says, you look at that statement, Ein mekablos pnei shechina. What a doomed statement. What a doomed statement. Such a person, right, is not going to ever be mekabel pnei shechina. Well, the truth is, if I'm struggling and I surround myself with people who are struggling just as much as I'm struggling, chances are none of us are getting out of this. Because there's no positive peer pressure to elevate. So I will say, it's a twofold statement. It's a statement about the nature of the destructive nature of these behaviors. To be a letz, to be a liar, to be a chanufa, to be a mesaper lashon hara. Terrible, terrible, corrosive. But what's even worse? To surround yourself with people who have the same midah, we'll say, then there's a real danger that I'm going to get stuck in a pit from which I will never extricate myself. The power of surrounding yourself with positive people, and chas v'shalom, the reverse, the destructive nature of surrounding yourself with destructive people. An incredible, incredible yisod. We'll say, Hadron Aloch, Elu Ne'emarin, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. New parak. We'll say, this is great, it's great. Mashiach v'chama. We'll say, just remember, just see in the stands, the way we're getting into a lot of these topics over here is because these were all mentioned. And they were mentioned in the context, ultimately, again, remember again, we had Mishnayos that said, Elu ne'emarin balash nakodesh. Elu ne'emarin b'cholosh. We spoke about things that could be said in any language or things that dafka need to be said in lash nakodesh in Hebrew. So we're picking up on that. Mashiach Milchama. And we'll say we're going to, who is the Mashiach Milchama? He is the Kohen who was anointed. His specific job is to lead the army out into war. Now, when I say lead the army out into war, he's not a military leader, but he is like the chaplain, right? He is the Kohen whose specific job it is to give the army instructions and chizik before they go out to war. So what happens? Mashiach Milchama. Bishah. When he would speak to the nation, right, he would speak in Hebrew. Because when you will come close to war, we'll see exactly what that drasha is. V'nigash ha-kohen, the kohen will come close to the army, right? V'nigash, the kohen will come to the front. This refers to the kohen who is anointed for battle. Anointed for battle. V'dibra ala'am, he will speak to the nation. V'lashon ha-kodesh. In Hebrew, Lashna Kodesh. Va'amar aleihem, Rabbi, what does he say to them? Shema Yisrael. Again, we'll see the meaning in all of this. He says to them, Shema Yisrael. Al Asad, the Gemara says, Al Oivechem, V'lo Al Achechem. He says, Shema Yisrael. Ultimately, again, the rest of the Pasuk Rabbi says, Va'amar aleihem, Shema Yisrael, Atem, Kreivim Ayom Nemochama, Al Oivechem. You're going out to battle against your enemies. Rabbi says, now the implicit question that the Gemara is asking is, obviously, you're going out to battle against. Who else are you going out to battle? Right? Who else are you going to war against? To which the Gemara says, Aloi vechem, v'lo alacheichem. Just understand, you're going out to war against your brothers. Sorry, against Chasshom. You're going out to war against your enemies and not against your brothers. Right? What does that mean? Lo Yehuda al Shimon v'lo Shimon al Binyamin. Right? We'll say, there were periods of time of civil war within Klal Yisrael. This is not a civil war, the Kohen Mashiach Milchama. It's not a civil war. You're not going out brother against brother. Because what happens, you go out to war against brother, Shim Tiplu Biyadam Yirachmu Aleichem. And I'm going to say, this is going to sound strange. What's the good thing about civil war? What's the good thing about civil war? The good thing about civil war is, you can pretty much count on brotherly compassion. Right? At the end of the day, if you fall captive into the hands of your brother, he is going to treat you compassionately. Shine Emar, Vayakumu Ha'anosh Masher Nikvu B'Shemos, Vayachaziku B'Shivya, V'chol Ma'amoreyem Hil Bishu Min HaShalol, Vayabishu V'yan Ilum V'yachilim V'yashkum, V'yaskum V'yan Ilum V'chamorim, V'chol Koshal, V'yabim Yericho, Ayirat Morim, Eitz Alechem V'yashuvu Shom Rom. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rashi points out over here, this was during the war of Pekach ben Remalyo, who ultimately again fought against Achaz. So this was Yehuda against Yisrael, where ultimately again, there were a number of men from Yehuda who were captured. And what happened to the captives from Yehuda? They were fed, they were washed, they were dressed, and ultimately again, they were returned home. That's what happens in Klal Yisrael when brother fights against brother. So the coin says, just understand, you're not going to war against your brothers. Rather, al oivechem atahochem. You're going to war against enemies. And what happens? You go to war against enemies. Shem tiplu biyadam emirachan aleihem. If you fall captive, they will not have compassion upon you. So we'll say. So again, that's the first thing the Kohen says. Kohen Moshe Muhammad says, understand, you're going out to battle, not against your brother, but against your enemies. Be prepared to fight, because at the end of the day, if you are captured, there will be no mercy. There will be no compassion. Ayirach levavchem. Literally, again, don't let your heart be soft. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Al tachpezu, don't panic. So the Gemara says, I will say this. So there's many different lashonos that the Kohen Mashiach Milchama employs to tell the soldiers not to be fearful. Ayirach levavchem, don't allow your heart to be soft. Nipnei salas hasusim. Ultimately, again, because of the braying or the neighing, whatever the right term is, right? Because of the sounds of the horses, right? You hear the cavalry there, it can be very overwhelming. Don't be afraid. V'tzichtzuach charavos, or the clanking of the sword. Al tiro mipnei hagafas trisin. Don't be afraid because of the banging of the shields. So I'll say sometimes again, you know, when the armies were poised to go out to war, what would happen? They would bang on their shields. They would bang on their shields as an effort to intimidate the other army. Vishafaz hakal gasin. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, ultimately, again, of the sounds of the groups of soldiers. Atach bezu mikol kronos. Don't be nervous when you hear the horns sounded. V'al ta'artzu mipnei kol tzavachos. And don't be broken as a result, ultimately, again, of the cries of the opposing army. See, I will say, what's incredible about this is, you know, whenever you tell someone not to do something, by definition, what are you essentially saying? I recognize that this is normal. So it's actually an incredible idea. What the Kohen Mashiach Melchama is doing is, he's also validating the fact that war is scary. He's validating the fact, it's understandable to be scared, but now I'm telling you, don't be scared. Don't be scared. I understand why you might be fearful. Don't be scared. Why? What's the second wide line? Ki Hashem Elokeichem Ha'olech Imachem. This is so beautiful. Why shouldn't you be scared? Why shouldn't you be scared? Because understand, you are not going out to war alone. You are going out to war with the Ribono Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks with you. Right? Your enemies, they come out to battle. They come out to war with successes of human warriors. But you come armed with the successes of a Ribono Shalom. Plishtim ba b'nitzchon shel Goliath, the Philistines came, you know, armed with the victories of Goliath, of Goliath. Mahaya sofa, what happened to Goliath? The sof nafal b'cherev, v'nafal amo, right, v'nafal imo, v'nafal amo. Right, Goliath himself is felled by the sword, and his nation alongside him. B'nei Amon ba b'nitzchon shel Shovach, the sons of Amon, they come out armed with the Shovach was their warrior, right? Mahaya sofo, the sof nafal b'cherev, v'nafal amo, right? So again, same thing with Amon. Their champion fell, and the nation fell as well. V'yatem, iyatem kim, but you, Klal Yisrael, you're not like this. Ki Hashem Elokeichem Ha'olichi Mochem, li'lachem lachem, li'ilihilachem lachem. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out to battle with you. He's going to wage your battles, zeh machane aron. What this refers to is the aron. Well, we'll see actually what the Gemara means, but this refers to the aron, or the camp of the aron, which came out to Klal Yisrael with war. We'll discuss exactly what that means. So it says the Gemara, my Kamar. Now, so let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the Kohen Mashiach Melchama would utter his instructions in Lashon HaKodesh, would utter his instructions ultimately again in Hebrew. So it says the Gemara, my Kamar, Hachi Kamar, Shene'emar V'diber. Pasuk says, the Kohen would talk. V'ne'emar La'alon Moshe Yidaber, V'elokim Ya'aneh B'kol, by Har Sinai, just like by Har Sinai, everything was said Balashna Kodesh. Afkan Balashna Kodesh. So too over here we said Balashna Kodesh as well. Incredible. Tan Rabbanon. V'nigash HaKohen V'diber Ala'am. So Pasuk says, the Kohen will come close and he will speak to the nation. Yochol Kol Kohen Sheyirtze. You might have thought any Kohen who wants to could go ahead and give chizik to the army. Tamal Lomer V'dibru HaShotrim. The Pasuk says, the officers will speak. Ma'ashotrim B'memunah. Just like a shotr, an officer is appointed position. Af Kohen b'memuna. So too, again, it has to be a kohen who is appointed for this particular job. Ve'ema kohen gadol. Maybe it's the kohen gadol who does it. To which the Gemara says, dumya de shoter. Has to be similar to a shoter. Right? Why? Ma shoter sheish memuna agabav. Just like a shoter has a superior above him. Af kohen sheish memuna. So to a kohen who has a superior. But the kohen gadol, right? So the Gemara, kohen gadol doesn't have a superior. Ah, yes, the Kohen Gadol does. The Kohen Gadol namia ika melech. The Kohen Gadol reports to the king. Right, the king, right on the organizational flowchart. The king is above the Kohen Gadol, so the Kohen Gadol does have a superior. To which the Gemara says, "Ba'avodah sakam." What it means in his avoda. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have a superior in his avoda. He's the top guy in the avoda of the kohuna. So therefore, you need a Kohen. So in other words, we'll say, because remember, in the same pasuk, there are two people who lead the are two groups of people. Called two people, so to speak. One person and a group who lead the army out into battle. There's the Kohen and there are the Shotrim. So the Gemara is saying we have to equate the two positions. So just like the Shotr is appointed, the Kohen has to be appointed. Just like the Shotr reports to someone, the Kohen, Mashuach, Mochad, the Kohen has to report to someone as well. The Amos Skan, maybe it's the assistant Kohen Gadol. We both say this is incredible. Skan Lav Memunahu. We both say this is actually quite fascinating. The Skan is not an appointed. Remember the Skan, who's the Skan? We'll say, who's the Skan? Now we call him the assistant Kohen Gadol, but the truth is he's not really the assistant Kohen Gadol, right? What is he? What is he? He's the bullpen Kohen Gadol, right? He's the bench Kohen Gadol. I just want to point out, this is actually very important because this is the point that's being brought out over here. See, assistant Kohen Gadol sounds like what? He's working. Jose, what is the Skan Kohen Gadol doing on a regular day, right? If the Kohen Gadol is happy and healthy, what is the Skan doing? I don't know, right? Golf, right? Golf, cross, right? He's on the Harabayas, right? He's on the seventh hole of the Harabayas. And I don't know what he's doing. In other words, whatever he's doing, he's learning, he's doing mitzvahs, right? He's doing chesed. He's not doing anything in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Because remember, he is only activated when something happens to the Kohen Gadol himself, right? So we call him the assistant, but the truth is, he's not really the assistant. He's on the bench. He's on the bench. The replacement. The replacement. To which the Gemara says, Skan Lav Amuna. Skan is not really an appointed position. The Sanyo, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKohanim, Lama Skan Mamuna, right? Or right for the Maskan. What is the Skan appointed for? Shem Ira Bo Psul B'Kohen Gadol, Nichnas U'Meshamish Tachtov. See, I will say, the Skan is not really an active position. The Skan is only there in the event that something happens. He springs into action. So I will say, this is actually fascinating. That I will say, so therefore, to kind of close out the circuit, therefore the Gemara says, the Kohen who goes out to war is a specifically appointed position, right? It can't be the Kohen Gadol because the Kohen Gadol is the highest level, right? It can't be the Skan because the Skan is not really an appointed position. I will say, see, it's an incredible Moshe Haskell. What's the Moshe Haskell? The Moshe Haskell is standing ready to do something, but not actually doing anything, is not a position of prominence. And I would say, in other words, talking about what you're going to do, or planning what you're going to do, but not actually doing it, is not really considered to be a position of importance within Klal Yisrael. And I would say that's the metaphor for life. Many of us spend an incredible amount of time planning and talking and articulating and espousing what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, only one problem, which is we never fully execute. Well, if I can't fully execute, then at the end of the day, that's nice. Maybe one day I'll be important, but Lamaisa, right now when I'm on the bench, it's not all that important. Incredible Yisod. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'amar aleim Shema Yisrael. So the Kohen Mashiach Mohammed says to them, he gives them a whole speech. Shema, right, the speech is Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. Atem kravim hayom u'mochamot. Today we're going out to battle. So we'll say, so the obvious shayla is, why does he employ the lashon of Shema Yisrael? To which the Gemara says, Maishna Shema Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishra Mishra Yochai. Rashi Rabbi will say, what a schos. What a schos. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is over here with us on the 34th day of the Omer, right? What one scene is the beauty. Once you create a relationship with Rashbi on Lag BaOmer, that relationship stays with you even into Lad BaOmer. That's the beauty of the Tana of the Kir Rashbi. So Rashbi says, Amar Lehanach Hashem Baruch Hu LiYisrael, Afilu lo kiyamtem el kriyas shema shachris va'arvis yatem misram bi'adam. Hashem Baruch Hu says, all you need in order to be successful in life are spiritual merits. Unless you think that you have to be, as they say, a grace tzaddik, you don't have to be so righteous. Even if all you come to war is armed with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Shachris Va'arvis, and I will say, then what? You'll be successful. And I will say, now if you notice, by the way, the Gemara doesn't say all you need is the schus of Kriya Shema, right? What does it say? You need Kriya Shema when? Shachris and Arvis. See, I will say, what's the chaf when you have Kriya Shema, Shachris Va'arvis? You've bookended your day with Ruchnius. See, I will say, if I just have episodic Ruchnius, then that's not enough. But if I have bookended Ruchnius, even if the middle of the day, right, even it's not so great, but if I'm starting with Kiddusha, I'm starting with Shema, I'm ending with Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's great. That's a fantastic start. And therefore, the Maisa, again, that's enough of a schos to allow you to be successful in battle. Ayerach levavchem al tiru. Don't be afraid. Tana Rabbanan. Supposed to listen to this. Pamayim medaber imam. The Kohen Mashiach Mohammed speaks with the army, twice. Achas b'safar, or b'sfar, one time, we'll say, when we immediately leave Eretz Yisrael. So when the army goes out to battle, ultimately, again, so he speaks to us the first time, when we leave the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the Achas b'mochama, and literally the second time, literally on the front, right? On the front, right when we're actually about to go out to battle. This Sefar Ma'o Omer, on the border, what does the Kohen Mashiach Mohammed say? Amad Beis. Shimu Dvarai Me'archem Elchama V'Chizru. Right? Ultimately, again, hear my words, those going out to battle. V'Chazru. Now, so what does it mean, Chazru? Anyone who is entitled to go back from battle, go back now. Go back now. Exemptions. Look at Rashi. Shimu Dvarai Me'archem Elchama. Mirai Lachzar U'mirai Lelech. V'Chazru Haru'im Lachzar Kigom Bonabayis. So we're going to talk about all this. Nata Kerem. Eras Isha, Yori Varach HaLevav. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So the first speech is given at the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And it's there that he says, essentially, whoever is fit for battle come, but whoever has an exemption, go back home. So we'll say, by the way, what do you see? We're going to talk about this morning. What do you see from this? Everyone goes out. We'll say, see what's fascinating is, I would have thought exemption. What does an exemption mean? What does exemption mean? Don't go at all. What do you see from here? No. Everybody goes. Then when you get to the border of Eretz Yisrael, what happens? And he speaks about the exemptions of those who don't have to go out to battle. So we're going to talk about this more. What's the logic? Everybody, let's say the logic is that when Am Yisrael goes to war, everyone goes. Now, not everyone fights. That's the chap. Not everyone fights. But if Klal Yisrael is going to war, there is no such thing as a Jewish man who is not packing his bags and going out with the army. You may not fight. You may be sent home because of a variety of different things. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, everyone's supposed to say, that's an interesting part of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael's in danger. Am Yisrael's facing a threat. You're going to stay home and eat chalent? What are you talking about? Pack your bag. Everyone knows when they see you schlepping along, there's no way. We're not selling that guy out. Right? Lamaisa, right? But Lamaisa, you should stay home and eat chalent, right? But Lamaisa, a little less chalent, right? But Lamaisa, everyone goes. I would say, it's just an incredible yisod in achdus, right? So when the army is called up, everyone leaves Eretz Yisrael. At the border, we're going to send you back home. It's incredible. Achdus. You know what achdus is? Achdus is, you are part of the klal, no matter what is occurring, even if at the end of the day, you don't have a specific way to help. In other words, You join the ranks. You join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. I'm here. I'm counted. Either you're going to send me home because of whatever different reason. That's fine. Maybe I'm going to get sent home. But I'm still going to join the ranks of Am Yisrael as they march towards battle. It's such an overwhelming idea. The Gemara goes weiter. So I'll say that's the first speech. So the first speech the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad gives is at the border of Eretz Yisrael, and where he says essentially the exemptions. What's the second speech? We'll say Membeis 42b, second line. So then he tells them, don't be afraid. Because most remember again, anyone who's present at the second speech, the front lines, who is that? That's the army that's going to fight. Right? So again, anyone who was going home was already exempted during the first speech and is already home. So the second speech is given to the standing army who is going out to battle. And what does he say to them? Don't be soft of heart. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. Don't be broken. This corresponds, we'll say, why four lashonos of chizuk, four expressions of chizuk, corresponding to four things that armies would often do to intimidate opposing armies. What would armies do? Magifin, Umarian, Samchin, Vromsin. So also, right, they would go ahead and clash, right? They would go ahead and hit their shields, they would blow their horns, they would cry out, and ultimately, again, Robson, they would stamp their feet, or have their horses stamp their hoofs. Plishtimbaum and Itzchon Shalgoyah. So also, now we're going to talk about this. Remember again, the example the Mishnah gave is the Jewish army, we come armed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our aggressors, our enemies, come with some human champion. So for example, the Plishtim, the Philistines, they came with Goliath. What happened to Goliath? He was killed by David HaMelech. He wasn't even David HaMelech. He was just David. Right? Gemara says, Goliath, Amar B'Yochanan, Sha'amar B'Giloi Panim L'Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, why is he called Goliath? Goliath is the Lashon of Giloi, right? Revelation. Literally, again, he was Megale Panim. We'll say, Megale Panim is the Lashon Rashi says of chutzpah. Right? Golias was chutzpedik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, Baruch Lachem Ish V'ir Edalai. Golias, remember, I'll say, remember again the story with Golias. So remember, Golias issues a challenge. Bless you. Golias essentially says, we don't have to wage army against army with such a loss of life. I'll be the champion for the Plishtim. You Jews, you send out a champion. Let's just do one-on-one combat, and that's it. We'll call it a day. Whoever wins that one-on-one combat, that's the victor, and the other one goes home. He says, Baruch Lachem Ish. Choose a man and come fight me. Ve'in Ish Ela Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say sometimes Ish refers to Hashem. Shneimar Hashem Ish Milchama. So we'll say, so the Gemara understands that Golias was essentially extending a challenge to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, come fight me. Come fight me like a man, God, right? I'll take you on. So Gemara said, well, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'apilu Al Yad Ben Ish. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will cause Golias to fall, not in the hands of an Ish, but a son of man. Shene Emar V'David Ben Ish Ephrati. So he'll say, ultimately, how is David identified? Not even as an Ish, but as a Ben Ish, the son of a man. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Bishloshim Kamos, Lachto Pevla Osarasha. Rabbi say there are three places where Goliath's mouth betrayed him. Rabbi say he said things that foreshadowed his own demise. Number one, Echad, Baruch Lachem Ish, V'yered Eli. Let it, right, choose for yourself a man, V'yered Eli. Rabbi say, now the Lashon of V'yered Eli, remember again, Aleph and Ayin can be interchangeable. So Vayered Eli could also mean Vayered Alai. Choose a man, ultimately again, Vayered, who will trample upon me, come upon, which is a reference to the fact that Golias would lose. See, he didn't even realize it, I would say. That ultimately again, he was foreshadowing his own demise. V'idach, im yuchal lihilachem iti, v'hikani. If someone is able to go ahead and do battle with me and smite me, V'idach. So again, he made a reference to the fact that he would be killed. Remember again, when David Melch comes out with his little slingshot, so Goliath taunts him and says, what am I, a dog, that you come out again with your sticks? Ultimately, again, a reference to the fact that he would be beaten like a dog with sticks. David Nami Amarle, Ata Ba'elai Becherev, Bechanes of the Kidon. I bet David Melch also used this same lashon. Hadar Amarle va Anochi ba'ilecha b'shem Hashem Tzevakos Elokei Yisrael Ma'archos Yisrael shecharafta. David Melech qualifies it ultimately again by saying, I don't just come out to you with sticks, but rather again, I come armed. I come armed as an emissary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who you degraded. All right, Vayage Shaplishti Ashkei Beharav. So listen to this. So the Navi says that Goliath would taunt the Jewish people every morning and evening, early in the morning and in the evening. So I said, why early in the morning and in the evening? Am Rabbi Yochanan kedei levatlon mikriya shema shachris v'arvis. So I said, what did Goliath want to do? Goliath Dafka wanted to interrupt shachris and ma'ariv, right? He wanted to interrupt Kreshon. I will say, now, by the way, if you notice, what did we just say before? When the kohen, right, when the kohen gives his speech, what does he say? Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Why does he start Shema Yisrael? Because he says to the army, even if all you have are the zechuyos of Kriya Shema Shal Shachris, Kriya Shema Shal Arvis, that's enough to make you successful. When does God, right? Goliath knew his stuff. Right? I will say, by the way, we're going to see how Goliath knew his stuff in just a moment. But Lamaisa, Goliath purposely taunted Klal Yisrael, purposely interrupted in the morning and in the evening so as to undermine their recitation of Kriya Shema of Shachris and Arvis, hoping to undermine the zechuyos of Klal Yisrael. Incredible. He went ahead and he taunted them for 40 days. Ultimately, again, this corresponded ultimately, again, to the 40 days in which we received Torah. Moshe was up on the mountain for 40 days. So Goliath, you see all of this, of Goliath trying to undermine the spirituality of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan, Kineged Arbaim Yom, good, it's fine. V'yetzi Ish HaBeinayim Mimachanos HaPlishtim. So what's very interesting? There was an Ish HaBeinayim who emerged from the camp of the Plishtim. I'm both saying, now this is a reference to Goliath. My Beinayim, why does it call him Beinayim? So Amarav Shemavuna Mikol Mum. He was built, we'll say, Goliath was a perfect physical specimen. Right? Beinayim means Mavuna Mikol Mum. He was built up, he didn't have any blemishes. He didn't have any blemishes. Shmuel Amar Beinoni Sheba Achav. He was kind of like the middle, like the Beinoni, like the average one amongst his brothers. In other words, he came from a very strong and valiant family, to the point that Goliath was the champion of the Plishtim. Just know he was kind of like the average one amongst his brothers. He was mamish like a building. Right? Goliath is like a building. Rav Yochanan Amar, Bar Mea Papi, V'chada Nanoi. He was the result of 100 stepfathers and ultimately one father. I'll say now we're going to see what this means is at the end of the day, his mother was incredibly promiscuous, right? And slept with a lot of men. So who Goliath's father exactly was wasn't abundantly clear. But Goliath Shmo Migat. His name was Goliath from Gat. Son of Yosef, Shakol Doshin es imo kigat. Everyone literally again had threshed his mother like a press. In other words, very promiscuous lady. People say, by the way, I want to point out, this was a practice by the Plishtim. This was a practice by the Plishtim. They had this idea that if a woman slept with as many like valiant men as possible, thinking that the mixture of Zera would produce like the ultimate warrior. So this wasn't, I just want to point out, she wasn't uniquely promiscuous. Perhaps she was like the top of the class, right? But Lamaisa, this was cultural practice amongst the Plishtim. So the Gemara says, we saw this a little bit earlier in Sota, that the night before Shimshon was supposed to be executed. What was happening? The Plishti men were bringing their wives to try to become pregnant from Shimshon. So again, it wasn't even looked at as immorality. It was looked at ultimately again as this is how you build a stronger nation. Find strong men, allow women to become pregnant from those men, and ultimately again have them become pregnant like that. So just pointing out, this was cultural. Everyone had relations with Goliath's mother. Ksiv harpa uksiv arpa. Shabbo says, interestingly enough, what was her name? So it calls her again harpa, but it's written as arpa. Rav Shmuel Chad Amar harpa shma. Some say the name of Goliath's mother was harpa. V'lama nikra shma arfa. Why was her name called arpa? Shakal arfin oso me'achareha. So again, Rav say again, another lashon over here of this is a reference to Bia Shaloki Darko. Vechad amar arpa shma, v'lama nikra shma harfa, shakal doshin osa karifos. V'chenu omer, v'tika ha'isha v'tifos ha'masach ha'paneha be'er, v'tishtech alea erifos. So I'll say, so again, all of this just points to the incredible immorality. Again, but we don't call it immorality. They didn't call it immorality. They just called it nation building. Right, but Lamaisa again, Vibai, say that possible, say second wide line, you're saying Bahacha, in Techakesh as Haeva Machtesh, Beso Harifos Baali, the S Arbaas Ela Yodu La Harpa Begat, so Vayiplu Biyad David Biyad Avada. So we'll say again, Harpa, or had four children, had four sons, and one of them is Goliath, who's the primary topic over here, and all four of them ultimately again fell in the hands of David and his servants. Maininu, we'll say, who are the four sons of Harpa, right? Maininu, Amar of Chista, Saf, Madon, Golias, V'yishpi b'no. We'll say, Yishpi b'no is one name. This is Golias and his brothers. Ultimately, again, we'll say, they fell in the hands of David and the hands of his servants. This is incredible. Dixiv, Vatishak, Arpa, L'chamosa, V'rus, Dav, Kaba. We'll say, I just want to point out something absolutely amazing. We're going to stop over here. We'll pick up with this tomorrow, Miras Hashem. But I will say, just to point out, Goliath is a descendant of Arpa, and David is a descendant of Rus. So if you remember again, the dramatic moment in the beginning of Megillas Rus, where Naomi has two daughters-in-law, Rus and Arpa, and ultimately Arpa goes away. Arpa kisses her mother-in-law, goes away, and Rus stays. So we'll say, I just want to point out, that's the moment when Rus and Arpa, their paths split. And we'll say, but Rus and Arpa, their paths once again collide. When do their paths collide? When their respective grandsons meet on the battlefield. Right? David and Goliath, the grandsons. Right? David, the grandson of Rus. Goliath, the grandson of Arpa, meet again. And we'll say, just the last line. The Gemara says, Avatishak Arpa lechamosav, Rus tavkaba, Amra b'Yitzchak, Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo b'nei ha'neshuka V'yiplu b'nei ha-devuga. Let the sons of the one who kissed, i.e. the sons of Arpa, ultimately fall into the hands of the Dvuka, the hands into the one who cleaved to Naomi. In Rosh Hashanah, we'll stop over for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this narrative tomorrow. Incredibly dramatic. Shvecha will say. All right, Chevron, you have a great day. Good to see everyone.